It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are we today, Bill?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you. How are you?
Likewise, thank you.
Good.
We're going to be talking today about financial planning for new retirees. Mm-hmm. And I guess that some of our listeners may be newly retired, others may be approaching retirement. Mm-hmm. So how important is it for them to review their financial planning at this stage in their life?
Yeah, it's a very important time in an individual's life when they're approaching retirement or have just moved into retirement. I mean, it's a great compliment to the individuals who come to Blevins Franks for advice in that in almost every case, they arrive at the offices of Blevins Franks for advice about the place in which they've now chosen to live and how they might establish their wealth in a tax-efficient way. That when we look at what they have invested in, the vast majority of those people have got very sound investments that they've made over a long-term period, 30 or 40 years, life insurance policies, endowment policies, UK tax incentivized investment arrangements, individual savings plans, all sorts of things that make sense. But the problem is, of course, they made those investments in expectation of planning for the future when they were 25, 35, 45, even 50 years of age, and now they've got to retirement age. I usually ask those individuals, if I could convert all of these assets that you have invested in into cash today, would you take that cash and invest in exactly the same things for the next 25 or 30 years? Because the answer is no. Always the answer is no, because what you invest in and plan for during your working life is not the same, fundamentally different to the aspirations and objectives and the tax planning requirements that you have once you move into retirement and you're looking to the future. And about the future, we're not talking about, as we did when I first came into this business, if someone was retiring at 65, you'd be talking about 10 years of financial planning, which wasn't too difficult. Now, people are retiring earlier, 55 and 60 years of age even. And now with life expectancy, they've got 30 years of life left in front of them. So now we do need to pay attention to long-term impact of inflation, long-term capital growth, and to make sure there is adequate income to last for the remainder of their life and to grow their assets so that at the end of their life there is seriously improved wealth to pass on to their beneficiaries. So, you know, it's a critical time to review your financial circumstances, that point at which you are either coming into or have just entered retirement.
So what about savings and investments? Do most people need to review and amend their portfolio now that they are retired? And what are the key issues they should be considering?
I think conventionally, in the period of work, when you're earning a living, you know that you're going to have income coming through your employment. And therefore, whatever surplus capital you have, you can clearly take a modest degree of risk with because you know that next month you're going to get a paycheck. Well, when that stops and you're down to the dependence upon your pension income, and some people do have a very adequate pension, nonetheless, it is time to consider whether you should scale down the level of investment risk you take because you're now going to be depending on that accumulated capital and the income it produces for the remainder of your life and to support your widow or widower. And, of course, to improve your wealth, hopefully, so that you might pass some assets on to the next generation, if that is your wish. And I think the value of the review at this time is that many people have invested, as I've said earlier, in very interesting and worthwhile investments that don't really sit comfortably with the fact that you're now entering the retirement phase of your life. And, frankly, if you have invested whilst you were a resident of the UK, then you've probably got tax charges coming out of those investments that just are no longer relevant, and you may have tax advantages in some of them. The individual savings accounts, for example, many people have got hundreds of thousands of sterling investments in those which don't attract any tax at all under UK law. But of course, once you leave the UK, UK law doesn't apply anymore. In individual savings accounts, these tax-favoured investments from the UK are fully chargeable to tax in any economy outside of the United Kingdom. So, you know, it's not just a question of changing your objectives and aspirations because you're now entering into retirement. It's also a question, a function of, you now live in a foreign country to the one that you originally lived in, and you're going to have to think about alternative types of investments to make sure that you aren't actually investing in things and the taxman taking more of your money than is necessary.
Yeah. So what about taxation, Bill? Do they need to review their tax planning too at this stage?
Absolutely essential, Howard, because the common law practices that apply to United Kingdom nationals in the United Kingdom are fundamentally, in many cases, the polar opposite of the way in which tax is calculated and applied in the jurisdictions in continental Europe. The common law jurisdiction, the Anglo-Saxon form of determining tax legislation, and the Napoleonic-style common law of the continental European countries, fundamentally different. And so what is tax efficient? As I said earlier, you can buy tax-exempt investments in the UK that when you arrive in your new country of residence are entirely subject to tax. It's also true that in the country in which you've moved, it's almost certainly going to be that there will be tax efficient opportunities in your new country of residence, and you need to be thinking about whether you should be relocating previous investments into some new form or structure to make sure that they're tax efficient in the country in which you now live.
Well, Bill, I suppose it's also time to think about estate planning if you haven't got a suitable and reliable estate plan in place already.
I think at the point at which people retire, obviously it's not a very welcoming thought that you are in the latter phase of your life, but it's a fact of life, and frankly you're getting closer to the point at which taxes will be payable at the point at which you fall off your perch. And it's really that the sooner you plan for that eventuality, which none of us can avoid, it's just a question of not knowing exactly when that's going to happen, and the sooner you plan, the less liability there's going to be at the end of the day because of the time scale in the planning arrangements. The problem with most people is they don't really get down to putting a proper succession tax or inheritance tax plan in place until the Grim Reaper is just down the road. If you start that planning arrangement much earlier in your life, if you start it in your early retirement years, frankly, it is perfectly possible to avoid inheritance tax and succession tax entirely if you plan correctly. Within the financial services industry, we have always called inheritance tax a voluntary tax. It sounds a bit of a misnomer. Why do we call it that? Well, because if you aren't planning to avoid it, you're effectively volunteering to pay it. I don't want to sound smug about it, but frankly, it's worthwhile sitting down with a skilled and expert tax advisor within the Blevins Franks organization to start to help you understand how much freedom you can have over your capital and at the same time lock it away from the tax man at the point in time at which your life comes to an end. It's a very important part of wealth planning for your dependents and for your children and grandchildren. I'm sure everyone listening to this would rather that their children, their spouse, their children, their grandchildren inherited their hard-earned wealth than it passes over to the tax man.
Yeah. Well, pensions are obviously a very important part of retirement planning. How should people look at the options for their pension funds and establish what would work best for them, and if they can maximise their pension savings?
Yeah, that's a very important point, Howard, because I think the vast number of people who come to Blevins Franks as prospective clients come with a pension fund or several pension funds that they have accumulated throughout their working life. And the problem with that is that most of those pension funds will be denominated in sterling. The assets within the pension fund itself will be sterling-based assets, and they're going to be living in a euro economy. Now, of course, that immediately brings about a currency exchange rate risk. And, of course, the pensions legislation, which governs those UK pensions, is very restrictive in the sense that there are lots of things you can't do with a UK-based pension. There are opportunities to convert pensions where the circumstances are appropriate. It's not suitable for everybody. There isn't a one-size-fits-all, but we've talked many times, Howard, about qualifying recognised overseas pension schemes, and those are available for individuals to take their pension or their accumulated pensions and transfer them into a consolidated pension arrangement, which is regulated and approved, and which, when they do that, gives them greater access to their pension fund, reduces the liability to tax within the pension fund, gives them investment opportunities within the pension fund they wouldn't otherwise have. They can change the investment structure if they choose to euros, for example. Not necessarily simply euros, but it will give them a much reduced currency exchange rate risk. If, as an example, Howard, people who came into living in the European Union several years ago who had pensions that were sterling denominated were at that time very fortunate that they could go out with their pension in sterling and buy €1.60. Of course, it just doesn't happen today, and that's the currency exchange rate risk that sterling-denominated pensions are running week by week, value disappearing simply over, by a means that individuals can't change. They're not responsible for it, but it impacts upon their pensions. It has decimated, the exchange rate risk has decimated thousands of people's pensions. Once you convert your pensions to something that reduces that currency exchange rate risk and invests in growth assets, then, of course, the benefits become apparent.
I presume then when you retire to a new country like Spain, it makes everything more complicated. Would a DIY approach be risky?
I think it does make things more complicated. However well-versed you are as a UK national in the way UK tax law and UK investments work, and most, as I say, most people who come to Blevins Franks as prospective clients have a very smart collection of investment assets, and they're usually pretty well versed in how UK tax works. But as I've already said, the continental European and Spanish in particular modus operandi as far as tax is concerned is fundamentally the polar opposite in some cases to the way tax operates in the UK. The average tax rates are significantly higher than they are in the UK, and individuals need to understand in depth many of the areas of Spanish taxation that are beyond the remit and beyond the point of interest of most people. Blevins Franks employ people who are qualified tax advisors who are Spanish but who understand UK law as well, UK specialists in addition, and all of that is distilled down through experienced and skillful partners and senior partners working out of local offices in the area in which our clients are living in Spain. And frankly, to sit down at a point when you are either approaching or just entered into retirement, and indeed almost at any other time, if you haven't taken third-party professional independent advice, to sit down and without cost or obligation to talk through where you are and what it is you're trying to achieve, and to listen carefully to the way in which your own personal wealth can be reformatted to make sure that you retain more of your wealth and more of your income and pay less tax without any shadow of doubt. We all have to pay our dues, but within the law, avoiding tax brings simply more money to the table for you and your family and their inheritance.
And how can people get in touch with you, Bill, if they want to start that journey together?
I think to get an impression of the business, if you don't already know Blevins Franks, is to go to the website at www.blevinsfranks.com. And on that website, you'll find a huge raft of information about Spain, about the local offices that are some, in many cases, close to where you live. And indeed, it will give you a biopic of some of the people who work in those offices so that you will have some understanding of the business before you make arrangements to pick up the phone, call them, and arrange to sit down and talk to them for a short time just to work out whether or not the services that Blevins Franks have been providing for 40 years have a part to play in your wealth and tax management for you.
Always interesting, Bill. We'll talk at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Take care.
Thank you.